Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
We heard from hauliers, agricultural contractors, farmers now in day three of this protest at O'Connell Street in Dublin, but it's right across the country. And that's why we want to hear from you. How are you affected by this today? And how do you feel about the fact that the Justice Minister has announced that the Defence Forces have been asked to assist the Gardaí to move protesters blocking oil refineries and terminals? 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. Pamela's with me on the line today. Pamela, I believe you're stuck queuing for petrol in Kerry, is that right?
Well, luckily I've just filled my car with diesel just about 5 minutes ago.
Good.
But I was stuck for an hour in a queue, yeah.
Okay, tell us the situation. So you got there a little earlier this morning.
Yeah, well actually I drove through two different villages and the queues were so bad I was like, gosh, this is ridiculous. So I drove to the next one and I rang my friend who was in a bigger town. And she said that two of the three petrol stations in that town had already run out of fuel.
So
she said, just stop in the next village. So I stopped and we were queuing for almost an hour. And while we were queuing, the man from the service station came up along and said they'd actually run out of petrol. But luckily, I needed diesel. So I just literally got in and filled up. And the lady behind the counter was just saying that luckily they had a delivery this morning that was already on the road. And that's the only reason that they have diesel. And the queue is still like miles up the road.
And when you say, sorry, Pamela, I mean, I know listeners are, you know, quite shocked, I think, really, to hear this even already from the text coming in since you joined us. When you say you queued for an hour, that was to actually get into the forecourts of the petrol station?
Yeah, just to get in. The whole place is blocked up. The whole village is blocked up. There's a queue of traffic an hour long to try and get onto the forecourt.
And then you get in and you find out there's no petrol. There's only diesel,
yeah.
Which I know didn't
now,
affect
the
you.
Now, the man from the service station is actually walking as far up the road as he can to let people know that there's no petrol. And then whoever have petrol cars are just pulling out and trying to get somewhere else. But like the two villages before this, they're totally blocked up. You can't hardly get through them.
And I presume you were getting it because you needed it. Not as an, you're not.
Yeah,
emergency.
We're only visiting Kerry. We're here for a few days, and we're going home to Wexford tomorrow. And like, if I didn't get diesel in my car today, we have nowhere to stay tomorrow night in Kerry. So we have to have diesel to get home.
Yeah. And is this, like, obviously the protest, I'm sure you've been aware of it, Pamela, over the past number of days, but is that the first day you were kind of directly affected by it?
Well, we drove down here on Tuesday and we had to take a back road because we didn't want to go on the Limerick motorway because we were aware of the blockades on the motorway in Limerick. But I think today it's really affecting everybody because of the fuel. I mean, it's just taken a big step up today.
Well, the idea that people are even in the first instance, like, I'm trying to, you know, visualise the image of you and all these other cars, as you say, lined back through an entire village, queuing for an hour to even get into the petrol forecourts, people probably desperately needing fuel, and then to arrive there to be told, we've no petrol. Like, what are those motorists to do, Pamela?
This is the problem. Like, I've spoken to people who won't be able to get to work, won't be able to get to appointments. Like, I've heard of the emergency services and stuff along the motorways. But, like, obviously there's pregnant women who might go into labour tonight. Their partners have no petrol or diesel in their car. Like, it's ridiculous. And don't get me wrong, Andrea, I understand and I did support the protest, but I think that this has gone just a little step too far. This is really after just strangling the country altogether. As far as I'm aware, there are no service stations in Tralee that have any fuel left. That's a big town with no fuel.
We want to hear from people today, maybe in Tralee and parts of Kerry and look all over the country. If you've arrived at a petrol forecourt, if you're listening to Pamela here in Lunchtime Live today and you've been told that there's no petrol or no diesel available for you to put into your cars and your trucks. 1800 453 106, that is the number. But I suppose the reality, Pamela, of all of this is now being laid bare. This is why the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, I'm sure, in listening to you today, will say this is why he's requested the Defence Forces come in to assist the guards to try and remove protesters that are blocking terminals and oil refineries. Do you agree with that move by the Justice Minister, Pamela?
Yeah, I disagree with them. I disagree with the protesters blockading the oil refineries and the ports. Absolutely. Now, I disagree with the government not stepping in with the fuel prices as well, Andrea, because, look, the higher the fuel prices are going, the more money the governments are making out of it as well. I mean, they're 65% of the fuel prices are intact. Absolutely, they can do something about it. I do agree with the protesters in that respect, but I really can't justify what's happening down here today. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
So you're staying in Kerry for one more night, and you're planning to make your way back to Wexford then, Pamela?
We're going to try anyway, to try and get home tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, safe trip, and thanks a million, Pamela, for calling into us here on Lunchtime Live this Thursday lunchtime. 1800 453 106, that is the number. Owen is with me on the line today. Owen, do you support this decision by the Justice Minister today?
I think it's a very hard decision. I think this is affecting everybody, whether we like it or not. I do support the protesters. They are a lot of small businesses. They're being put in the breadline. Some of them are going to go out of business, and nobody wants that. But I think that there is maybe a better way of doing it. I think that if we as a community actually go and start protesting at the most expensive garages in the country, and if we are to all go in and block up the garages, no garage wants to be named and shamed, but I think that this will start to drop the prices at the petrol pumps. One by one, petrol stations will all start dropping their prices.
But you heard Pamela talking about Kerry. I mean, sure, there's stations that have already run out.
Yeah, and that's the reality of it. But if the fuel's not getting into the country, the way the process is happening at the moment, without the fuel getting in, is only actually going to pull up the price. People are going to start panic buying, and that's going to start to pull up the price of fuel in this country. Mm-hmm. So let's tackle it the other way, and let's tackle just the select few petrol retailers that are the most expensive ones. Like, how can it be that there's like over 20 cents of a difference between one garage and another one on the same road?
Because it depends on the day that they purchased. It depends on the day. You're paying the price for which on the day that particular garage purchased that fuel. That's why there's a difference.
Okay, well, I'll give you an example of my own personal experience. I'm running my Jeep the last 6 months on HVO, which is hydrated vegetable oil. It has nothing got to do with the barrel of oil, the price of the barrel of oil. But it is almost always sold at the exact same price as the pumps. So 6 weeks ago, I was buying it at 165 a litre. Now I filled up yesterday and it was like 212 a litre. Now, the only reason that has gone up in price is to do with the garage's price gouging. It is not oil.
It is
nothing to do with the barrel of oil.
Okay.
They are now making extra money on it. So the garages, they will always tell us that, oh, we're losing money, and oh, it's to do with the price we pay for. But this economy of like rocket feather, it goes up like a rocket, it comes down like a feather. There is no excuse for it not dropping.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Owen, because I was reading the Competition and Consumer Protection comments a little earlier before we came on air, and they say that the increase in the fuel prices are driven by rises in wholesale costs and not price gouging. And that's according to the CCPC. They'd examined more than 900 consumer complaints since just the 2nd of March this year, and say that they haven't seen price increases which are in breach of any laws or legislation. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Tell us what it's like in your own locality, your own county today. If there's protests, if you're blocked in traffic, if it's safe to give us a call or text, please do so. Rachel is with me. Rachel, you're in Kilkenny, is that right?
Yeah, I'm actually travelling back from Kerry. I had a few days down in Kerry, but we're travelling back to Kilkenny today.
Yeah, did you get petrol or diesel?
We were lucky enough to get petrol yesterday now at a reasonable price. It was about 189, I think.
Okay.
And we were lucky enough yesterday to get it. Now, travelling back through Kerry, yeah, there are a lot of queues. But ridiculous pricing. The place that we got the petrol from nearly doubled in price.
nearly doubled in
price. Passing by it today.
Okay.
Because of the queues, it's too much. It's too much queues and everybody going at the same time trying to get it.
So this is day three of the protest. I mean, it was what was meant to be a kind of a slow convoy, I think it was how it was described, a slow demonstration on Tuesday. And here we are now on Thursday and still seeing oil refineries and oil depots and roads across the country blocked, including the main thoroughfares at our capital city centre. I was down there myself from early this morning. So is the Justice Minister right now to deploy the army?
No, I don't think so. The Farmers Association, the hauliers, the fishermen, they are standing for us. It is not just the price of their petrol and diesel that they are looking to reduce. It is ours as well. If they can't afford to keep their businesses afloat, how can a household keep their car afloat?
And you think, and is it okay to block up the main thoroughfares, the main road networks and the main routeways?
If it is to get the point across to the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste, who clearly have not been listening to the protesters and have frankly been insulting them in their statements of late, 100%, I back them completely.
And this is the comments from Micheál Martin yesterday describing the form of protest, the likes of O'Connell Street, been nearly sort of becoming a car park and describing it as unacceptable. You think that's insulting?
The way that he was describing them, yes.
Okay. So do we just let this continue then? Is that... I'm trying to figure out what's the end game here.
The end game for me personally would be that Micheál Martin would go down to the protesters on O'Connell Street, because we all know where they are. It's not like they're hiding or they're moving. We know where they are. Go and talk to them. They just want to have a conversation and to get the ball rolling, to get the price down.
Okay.
They're not being harsh in their demands. I know it's an inconvenience for everybody in their everyday life, but in the long run, it is the right thing to do for them and their businesses.
So there should be a meeting, basically. All right. Okay, well, look, well, Rachel, thanks a million for getting in touch with us. 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. Alan has sent in a voice note. Alan owns a filling station, is against the army being sent in, and he got in touch with us to share his thoughts.
No, I don't necessarily agree with the government sending the army. I think they should just go and speak themselves. I think the general public has actually realised now what's going on, about how much tax is taken. I'd much rather the protest be ending. I'm running out of fuel in the filling station. We cannot get it out. The government should be putting in proper measures to actually help the people. The 20-cent reduction that they're harping on about in the media now, £250 million package, has been swallowed up by the price increase. And it took 10 days. So the government have actually only given back 4 cents a litre when you take into consideration the additional VAT they're receiving. The likes of Spain, Australia, all those other places are just putting proper measures into place to help us through this. And no, the army shouldn't be out using more resources, using more of the taxpayers' money to do the government's bidding. It's starting to look a little like America.
That's Alan. Filling station owner getting in touch with us. Voice notes today. Keep those coming into us. 087 1400 106. We are going to stay with this after 1 o'clock. We want to hear from you. Do you agree with Jim O'Callaghan, the Justice Minister, in his decision to request the Defence Forces and the Army are deployed? The Gardaí talking about now entering an enforcement phase in an effort to end what they describe as the blockades around the country. We want to talk to the people today. Tell us how you were feeling and whether or not you agree with these decisions. The guards are now urging the protesters to end the blockades of the fuel depots, or they're likely to face the full rigours of the law. So what exactly does that mean? And what will it mean for those who are still out protesting? Christy is with me on the line today. Christy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
So whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'm stuck on the M50. I have been trying to get from Lucan, which... up to the M50 to Ballymun to Century Sports Clinic. My wife is after having an operation, is in hospital, and I wanted to get to see her. And which it only took me 15 minutes or 20 minutes yesterday. Now it's I was 45 minutes from Lucan to get onto the M50 on the N4, and then on the M50 it has taken me now 27 minutes to get from the junction at onto the M50 just to pass the toll bridge. So I'm now 60 minutes trying on this traffic and it's still stop start.
So there is some movement.
And there is some movement. Stopping, it goes a few yards, stops again, moves along slightly, and then stops again. It is just chock-a-block here on the M50. It is just, you'll not be getting moving. Anybody even coming down the arteries from the N4 to the N50 is just backing up all the way to Leixlip.
And just to clarify, there isn't a protest as such there, Christy. It's just that it's the thoroughfares, isn't it, trying to link onto some of the other routes and the backup of traffic?
Yeah, absolutely. But I'd say because of the protests, traffic cannot get to their destinations. Like, you know, and there's a lot of heavy traffic here. Heavy goods vehicles are on the M50. Not all protest now, should I add. But there are people, I'm sure, trying to get appointments, like I'm trying to get a, and are now really... it's just becoming, it's ridiculous at the present moment.
So do you agree with Jim O'Callaghan, Justice Minister, today that the army will have to be deployed?
I totally understand where he's coming from, where he's looking upon the civil authorities, because the Gardaí are the people who then call upon the army when they require them in relation to certain things that happen, either be it security or, you know, or issues in relation to infrastructure. But I thought maybe we need a little bit of diplomacy here, a little bit of, you know, cool heads always prevail at the end. And you need diplomacy in the end, or no matter what, who's saying what to whom. I think we need those cool heads to come out and say, right, this is where we're at. This is what we can do. This is our limitations. And let's move on. Yes, the protesters have a right to protest. We all have agreed that people have a right to protest. But I think the protesters now should think about what could happen if these protests go on. People are now without fuel and petrol. They were sitting in traffic. They're trying to get to, maybe emergency vehicles trying to get from A to B. If a fatality occurs, who will take responsibility? If a fatality or something happens, God forbid, there are people trying to get to hospitals, maybe for cancer treatments or whatever. Think about that as well.
You know, the protesters, when I was down with them in the first part of the programme, Christy, the protesters tell me that emergency vehicles, you know, are not being stopped, you know, in any way, that they are being facilitated and passing through, as are people with medical appointments. But I see a note from the Health Minister, Jennifer Carl McNeill, this lunchtime, and the HSE Chief Executive, Anne O'Connor, calling for all approaches to medical facilities to be kept clear for emergency access, for patients that are attending medical appointments. And we've heard anecdotally as well, even people to the station saying that that isn't necessarily the case in all parts of the country.
It's not necessarily in all parts of the country. And as I say, if you were sitting here today from where I have been sitting, trying to get a medical appointment or urgent medical appointment, I can guarantee you, as an ordinary person in the car here sitting on the M50, you know, you just won't make that appointment. And it could prove detrimental to somebody's health that they couldn't make that appointment.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but look, and there's a huge concern about it. So you say it's time for cool heads. We're now entering, well, we are in day three, and we're going to be entering day four tomorrow of this protest. And the people I've been talking as part of the protest in O'Connell Street tell me there's no let up at all, Christy, you know, unless they get this meeting that they're seeking, they are not going to stand down. So should the army be deployed?
Well, I mean, that's up to the civil authorities, and that's up to the Gardaí, who are making the application to, and the Minister of Justice has to sign off on it at the end of the day. And you know, if they have the heavy vehicles to move the heavy traffic from, say, major junctions or vital junctions, so be it. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, because this group is a very disparate group of protesters, and they're not aligned to any major organisations, it's very hard to pin down who you should be talking to or who is going to make that ultimate decision, because not everybody will agree with it, you know, because they're coming from different parts of the country or are in different parts of the country.
Well, look, I hope, Christy, you eventually get to the Santry Clinic and get to see your wife, as you say, that's in hospital and trying to get to see her. And thank you so much for getting in touch with us. 1800 453 106. Edmund is on the line. Edmund, you're a construction worker and farmer, is that right?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Are you part of the, Andrea? Not bad at all. Are you part of the protest today, or what's your story?
No, I'm actually off work today due to reasons beyond my concern. I couldn't get there today anyway, and the traffic wasn't helping. But I'm not as a protest, and I would have if I could have attended one. I would have, you know, because I feel they have a point to prove. I know that there's a lot going on and stuff, but during the government need to, like Chris just said there, it's time for cool heads, and the government needs to come out and speak to someone and call into it, you know, and sit down with the people concerned and you know, negotiate. You know, there's been no negotiating so far. You know, they're just they're being a bit stubborn, you know, so it's not getting us anywhere.
They'll say that they announced their raft of measures on the about 2 weeks ago, that the cut to the excise, the duty, on the 25th of March. They'll say we had this decision.
Yeah, but it hasn't gone far enough, Andrea. You know, the farmers came away from discussions at that table by their, you know, their members that were in for those talks, and came away with something like a 5 cents reduction. You know, but like,
so it's not
green
enough,
diesel
then.
Was 90 cents. It's not enough. No, no. Green diesel was 90 cents, as we know, in January, and it's gone up. It's doubled. Yeah. You know,
and is this the right way to go about getting what you want? To block off critical infrastructure, ports, oil refineries, the main thoroughfares through our capital city. I mean, Christy not able to go to see, you know, his loved ones in hospital. Like, I don't know, you tell me, is this the right way to go about it?
Well, look, again, I sympathise with Chris. You know, it's a difficult situation, you know, but like those men don't want to be out there today. You know, their backs are against the wall. A lot of them have invested, you know, a lot of their time and money into small businesses and firms. And they just don't see any way out. And like a lot of them will foreclose if this continues. You know, they just can't. Like a couple of weeks from now, a lot of them guys are going to be in a lot of bother, you know, and will be in a worse situation if something isn't done.
Tony is on the line. Tony, do you agree with Edmund? Can you hear me okay, Tony? Have I got Tony? No, we'll try to reconnect with Tony. Stay with me, Edmund, for a moment. Michael is with us. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good. Do you agree with Edmund? How are we going
to
sort this out?
I do, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, I'm living in the country in a farming community. I have friends who are contractors, who have big investments in machinery, and cost of diesel going through the roof, and all they can do is pass it on. And you know. Farmers are going to be in a position where they're going to have to buy fertilizer, which will be gone through the roof. So from every end of things are going to go up. And, you know, they're dealing with, they're supplying milk to creameries and to co-ops, and they're not going to get extra for their milk anytime soon. So, you know, from that point of view, from a farming standpoint, I'm not in farming. I'm a nurse, and I travel the country doing medicals for insurance companies, and you know, my diesel, I have a very frugal Volkswagen Golf that is now costing me €116 to fill it, when it was costing me 75 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
you know,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, and I mean,
so you agree with the protesters? We're not.
I agree with the.
Yeah, we're now in day three. Have you been able to get to work, Michael? You have.
I've been able to get to work, and because I get my diesel in the same place, I've been able to get diesel. But like the place, the local place here in Palace Green has no diesel or fuel at the moment. So now they're going to the place where I was getting it. When I went up there just now, there was about 10 cars queued up waiting to fill their cars, because they're scared that they won't be there. And they want to fill it.
So this is the problem. You know? I mean, I was speaking to a caller in the last hour. Pamela rang in. She was in County Kerry, Michael, and she told us an hour ago here on the show today that she waited for an hour to get in to one forecourts alone in a small village in County Kerry. And when she got there, the fuel pump owner came out to tell her that they'd no petrol. They were actually totally out of petrol. They only had diesel left. And that was having passed two other garages earlier.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I mean, The issue we have in this country with our government is that we seem to manage from crisis to crisis.
So the people elected them. We only had an election a year ago.
Exactly, you know, and I'd be worried if I was one of the gentlemen suggesting that the army should be brought out to deal with ordinary people. It kind of smacks of ice in the States, you know.
But the guards have said today, Michael, and whether this be right or wrong, or we agree with it or we don't agree with it, the guards have said today that they are no longer protests. They've described them as blockades. They've said that they're putting at risk the supply of food, fuel, animal feed, clean water, that these are all critical elements to allow for a functioning state, and that this amounts to breaking the law. And that's why they're saying that people who don't stand down from blocking critical infrastructure will face the full rigours of the law.
Yeah, but unfortunately, you know, I mean, if you look across Europe, this isn't new. I mean, every time the French farmers, you know, disagree with what their government is doing, they blockade the ports. They did it with lamb, they did it with numerous other things.
But should we want to turn into the French? Should they protest at every opportunity?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we need to start being a little bit more Britain, like the French, and maybe our government will start listening to people, you know.
What about you, Tony? Is Tony with us? Tony, do you agree with Michael and Edmund? They're both still with us here on the line.
I'm here. I don't agree. I totally disagree with this blockade and this protest. Stopping nurses and guards, doctors, carers, all the people that have to go to work to keep society working. And this blockade, I'm on a fixed income. I'm on disability. I'm on a fixed income. Anybody on a fixed income is not in the protest. There's no pensioners out protesting.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure maybe, okay. But the idea of putting an end to this and using the Defence Forces and the Army, deploying them to, you know, to kind of to put a halt now to these protests. Do you think that's the right approach?
Absolutely. I agree that they should be taken away completely. I go even a step further. I heard lorry drivers saying on the news last night that they were 2 weeks from going bust. Well, what's wrong with taking the lorries now?
What do you mean? If they're going to go bust
and the lorries are going to be repossessed, the problem is that farmers and lorry drivers have overspent. They've bought above their value, above their income. So go back to having a 2 or 3 year old older lorry, and the farmers can sell a site.
But I don't think people wanted to. I mean, Edmund, you are a farmer. I mean, surely we can try and find some sort of happy medium that doesn't have to come to that.
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. You know, selling a site isn't going to be the answer to our solution, you know, long term.
Assuming farmers have a load of sites.
Exactly, yeah, and you have to have road frontage to get rid of them as well. No, look, it's not feasible that way. And like I disagree with his comment there with the hauliers and the farmers have it. You know, you see in the news, you know, a lot of people comment on them having big flashy tractors or big flashy trucks. But at the end of the day, you know, they need to be well maintained and modern and able to.
Yeah, they're not cheap to buy.
What's involved in a working day? Like, you know, there's high expectancy on the machine to keep going and keep, because if the machine is parked up in maintenance yard, it's not working, it's not making the money. So they have to keep and like they're costing them a lot of repayments, but it pays dividends in the end if the machine starts going from, you know, so they can't afford to have older machinery. That's the fact of the matter, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not right to say that these farmers are in a lot of debt to have those machines. It keeps the company going. They have to have them, you know.
So you're telling us here, Edmund, today you don't want the army brought in.
No, I don't.
You don't want the army brought in. Michael, you're still on the line. You don't want the Defence Forces deployed either.
And may I bring something else in? By extension, the man that's responsible for all of this happening, in the next 12 months to 2 years, we have two major golfing events happening in Ireland. Should the government not be thinking about whether or not they should let this sentiment into the country?
Yeah, this is Donald Trump. Funny, you're not the first person to mention that, Michael. I saw other texters actually making that point a little earlier today. We might maybe come to those in a few moments. Stay with me. Babs is on the line. Garrett's on the line. I'm going to take a short break. We're going to continue this conversation here on Lunchtime Live as we've been doing so for the past hour and a half today. How do you feel about the army being deployed to remove protesters who are blocking oil refineries and oil depots and ports across the country? 1800 453 1006, that is the number if you want to have your say. We were down at O'Connell Street in Dublin a little earlier in the programme today, broadcasting live to talk to those who are part of this now 3 day protest. Gareth is on the line. Gareth, is Jim O'Callaghan right today to announce the army will be sent out?
Well, I think that something does have to be shown or something needs to be done, because the situation is kind of descending a bit more, like from what it was 3 days ago, where it was rolling stoppages in Galway or around the country. And what we have now is that we do have blockages, and they're just literally parking on the motorways to stop progress for people. Like my parents are heading down to Cork, and I had a fun time explaining all the directions that they should take using Google Maps to get them down there. And it was a nightmare, because they had picked specific points to choke off and to reroute the traffic. But they also had picked another point then to also choke off that area. And they've done the same thing for them coming back today. Like, at the end of the day, who do you talk to? I know you've been saying it as well, but in Galway, I've heard from on the radio different things of what the protesters want. And it's a pick and mix of everything that we would love to have in this world. Mm-hmm. But some of them are saying we want the fuel price back to 180. Some of them saying 150. There's all these numbers are just being plucked out. And if they, like, as they said there in O'Connell Street to yourself, why doesn't he come down and talk to us? Talk to who? There is, 50 or 100 people down there. Mm. Does he have to talk to all 100 of them?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, fair question, Gareth. There definitely seems to be, you know, three or four kind of spokespeople there in the group. And every time I've been down, the 2 days I've been down at O'Connell Street trying to talk to protesters, I'm always told to speak to this one and speak to that one. He's the spokesman. But I'm not really interested in speaking to the spokespeople. I want to speak to the people who are directly there protesting about what they want, because there isn't an actual elected group.
Yeah, and it's not like they come in with a manifesto of what they want, because each person that you seem to have spoken to or from around the country have their own little take on what they want out of this. And if they get an agreement where we'll say, oh, the truckers are happy, the farmers are going to still be there. And likewise, if they get the farmers happy, the truckers are still going to be there. So I don't know exactly how they're going to thread the needle. But at the end of the day, it is getting to the stage where if somebody was trying to get to hospital, and I know they're saying they're letting ambulances go through, and that's brilliant. They're still creating so much traffic for that ambulance to get up to them. And then you're not taking into consideration the people that can't get an ambulance, that may have to get a car.
Is Jim O'Callaghan right then to deploy the army?
I think that it depends on how they manage it, but there has to be shown that the state does have the right to allow people.
Here?
Yeah, because if you don't, next time it's going to be over something else, and then it proceeds down to being something even smaller and smaller and smaller, and then it becomes dysfunctional as a state. Mm. We have to make a stand, and we have to make a point. There are things that we expect people to behave. Protest is something that I do believe in, but protesting where you are actually creating such problems for the state and for the people that you're saying you're trying to help, they're saying we're helping everyone. A lot of people are saying they're not helping us, okay. And I feel they're not helping me, because they are creating more havoc and problems if you are trying to get around. And
you can't get from A to B.
I've got a fuel bill of 10,000 in green diesel that I have to fork out for, and I had hedged myself because I've got tanks. I had to buy fuel there. It was 90 cent. It was 1.50 when I filled up the tank. So I do understand.
Something has to happen then, I think kind of what I take from what you're saying. Do you agree with that, Babs? Do you agree with Gareth that, you know, there's got to be some give here? Something has to try and, you know, be brought in to alleviate this pressure at critical points around the country.
Well, I think that the problem that needs to be sorted is the government actually need to stand up and listen to people. I mean, because I don't agree with what he said, that they're not there to support the ordinary person. I am a healthcare assistant who travels from house to house. I don't get any subsidiary from the company that I work for, unfortunately. But even the people who do get subsidiaries, I have a sister who works for the HSE doing house calls, and the subsidiary isn't coming nowhere near the amount that she puts into her car day in, day out. And it's just a disgrace that the government are saying, we don't care about you. If ye continue with this, we're going to bring in the army. Like, why threaten the ordinary people who have put them there in the first place? I think it's an absolute disgrace
that this is what they're saying to us.
Yeah. So should we just continue then like this and have people like Christy a little earlier there at the start of the programme who can't get to hospital to see his wife?
Well, I do feel terrible for him. I really do. From my perspective, going around, as I said, I work as a healthcare assistant.
Yeah.
I have had no problem with any of the blockades.
Yeah.
I've been telling the lads what I'm working at. They've been so helpful. They've let me through.
Good,
I have to bring clients to hospital and all the rest of it. They couldn't have been more nicer to me. I did happen to pass an exit for the motorway today that I went on Tuesday and yesterday morning, and the Gardaí themselves have a sign up to say that the road has been closed. So it's actually the Gardaí who are now closing down the motorway.
I'm sure that's because they obviously can see the... Yeah, but I think with respect though, Babs, that's got to be to do with the fact that maybe either they're aware cars can't get through, or B, the traffic is so backed up.
But as I said, I was through there yesterday and the day before, and I was waiting a few minutes fine to get up that emergency lane, but I got up it, no problem.
Right, there's a queue at the filling station in Uachtarnamh and in Galway, says this texter. Panic petrol diesel buying is absolutely widespread. This is Pamela, who got in touch with us in the first hour of the programme today to share her experience this lunchtime in Kerry. We were going to play the short clip there of Pamela talking about her situation in Kerry. We'll maybe come back to that in a moment. Listeners got in touch with us, though, from the M50 northbound. We have a voice note in from a listener. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This motorist has got in touch with us from the M50 northbound, which we're told has been blocked by trucks this lunchtime.
Just on my way southbound on the M50, and just to say that the truckers have completely blocked off and closed the M50 northbound up, I think probably after the Red Cow sort of direction. It's at a complete and utter standstill for about a kilometre and a half, I'd say, and there's more traffic adding from the back. It's just a disgrace.
Yeah, that's M50 northbound motorist today. Another listener getting in contact from Connemara in County Galway to tell us about the situation there and their support for the protesters.
Things in Connemara in Galway are just as bad. There's queues for all the filling stations, with them all running out of fuel slowly but surely. It's an utter disgrace. I completely stand with the protesters. Fair enough, it may cause inconvenience for some people, but they're the only people in this country currently that are standing up for everyone. The prices are affecting everyone, and the government are showing nothing but utter greed by increasing taxes and planning to increase carbon tax again in May. It's the government that need to wake up, cop onto themselves, and reduce the taxes on the fuel.
Yeah, Connemara listener with us this lunchtime. Our own reporter Josh Crosby is... Josh, you're in Limerick, is that right?
I am, Andreas. So I started my day in Limerick on the M7 motorway, just minutes outside Limerick City, where there were 30 different vehicles blocking the motorway on both sides of the road. Tractors were trying to access the motorway, but they were being stopped by Gardaí. But then when this news came through that the defence forces could be deployed, I suppose attention suddenly went to the ports and the depots. So I headed down for fines, and this is where finished petrol and diesel enters the country. There's also animal feed and chemicals for water treatment supply. So when I arrived now, the reaction to the army being possibly deployed wasn't putting off any of the protesters. There were around 70 vehicles lined on both sides of the road. They weren't blocking the public road. They were in at the entrance as well. There was tractors, and I was actually surprised the number of cars that were here, not just tractors and trucks. And there were talks then when I arrived this morning that there could possibly be an agreement being reached to allow in the trucks that carry chemicals to treat water.
Mm.
So when it came to just before midday, a truck that was being blocked in there since, I believe the driver was in there since Monday, he was allowed out. And then just at 5 to 12, another truck was allowed in. And there have been several trucks since. And I believe negotiations are still being ongoing now whether to permit animal feed trucks in today. So, but they just say there's no budging on the fuel. So look, it's yet to be seen how this progresses.
Mm.
As you've been saying there from texters, like, I'm aware more and more pictures circulating online of garages across the country with cars queuing up. So I suppose the disruption to fuel supply is where this turns next. But just to hear from one of the protesters here, I met with Nelius O'Connor here in Foynes, and I asked him his reaction to the idea of the Defence Forces stepping in.
It's going to be unsustainable to have a business that has anything to do with the present time with fuel.
Tell me the reasoning behind blockading a port. Some listeners will understand a slow drive protest, they'll understand a demonstration outside the Dáil. What's the reasoning for blocking a port?
So we feel that we're being not listened to, and we have to take action now to get dialogue opened and to come to a sensible conclusion where we feel we're being let down by government.
What's your reaction to what we're hearing now about the Defence Forces possibly being asked to assist in removing vehicles from areas of critical infrastructure?
It's just another non-respect for the public. It's shown a dictatorship, in my opinion. That's what I call it. We have left all the workers in the port. If they want to go in, we haven't stopped them.
And the trucks that are collecting and carrying chemicals, they're going to be allowed in?
No, this morning we were approached. We have no issue with that. We opened dialogue and we're letting them in through this morning. There's roughly going to be 30 to 35 lorries leaving the port here, servicing the whole country. And we are facilitating that with no issue whatsoever. The only issue we have here at this port is fuel.
What do you say to people who are pulling into a petrol station and they're seeing that there's no fuel in the forecourt?
It's extremely disappointing. But what I will say to them is, stand with us. Because if you stand with us, you'll see a reduction in the tax take that the government are taking on fuel. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I just want to finish on this point. Green diesel is what I burn. Green diesel is what every farmer in this country uses. And what does they use it for? They use it to produce food. That's what we need green diesel for.
Yeah, it's our own reporter, Josh Crosby. Josh, thanks a million for joining us there from County Limerick this lunchtime. Pamela got in touch with us a little earlier in the show today. She was in County Kerry trying to get diesel.
Well, luckily I've just filled my car with diesel just about 5 minutes ago. Stuck for an hour in a queue. Yeah. See, I drove through two different villages and the queues were so bad. I was like, gosh, this is ridiculous. So I drove to the next one and I rang my friend who was in a bigger town. And she said that two of the three petrol stations in that town had already run out of fuel. Said, just stop in the next village. So I stopped and we were queuing for almost an hour. And while we were queuing, the man from the service station came up along and said they'd actually run out of petrol. But luckily, I needed diesel. So I just literally got in and filled up. And the lady behind the counter was just saying that luckily they had a delivery this morning that was already on the road. And that's the only reason that they have diesel. We're only visiting Kerry. We're here for a few days and we're going home to Wexford tomorrow. And like, if I didn't get diesel in my car today, we have nowhere to stay tomorrow night in Kerry. So we have to have diesel get home.
Yeah, out of petrol in one petrol station in County Kerry, as Pamela told us. Queues at filling stations in Uachtarard and Galway. Another listener living in Newbridge tells me the M7 is free, but the garages are busy. People are out panicking and filling up. And this texter says the M1 north-south blocked by trucks at the Donabate interchange. Nuala's with us. Nuala, you're stuck in traffic in Galway.
I am. A fiddle, but it was back up a queue gone into the garage. People are panicking and trying to get petrol, I guess.
Yeah. Are you driving somewhere or were you trying to get to a petrol station?
No, I was on my way home, but I've pulled in now. I've been listening a lot to the radio and seen on the TV and stuff, and like this whole crisis, it affects absolutely everybody. And I totally understand and support the right to protest, and I think it's good that people are protesting. But I think it's a bit extreme to be punishing people, like the ordinary people who are trying to, especially the most vulnerable ones, trying to get to hospitals, people trying to go and look after people who need help and all of that. That's where I try to draw the line. And ultimately, the person responsible for all of this is Mr. Trump himself, who has had people coming, soldiers and God knows what, coming in and out of Shannon both Mr. Trump and his regime and previous US.
So should we deploy our army then to try and remove, as the guards describe them, as blockades over the past 3 days?
I don't know.
I think a lot of people, if there isn't trouble,
I think in one way the guards, our government, are trying to stop trouble from happening. But I, you know, deploying the soldiers, I mean, is that going to, you know, inflate trouble or whatever? At the minute, there's a 91-year-old woman who left Shannon 9 days ago and is walking with loads of supporters in all the different towns and villages that she's going through on her way to Dáil Éireann in protest over having, facilitating Donald Trump.
Over the Shannon, okay. So you seem to have sympathy, I think, Nuala, nearly on, you know, for kind of on both sides, nearly from talking to you today. Very mixed reaction to this. Texter tells me that those in dispute stopping traffic need to remember that it's negatively affecting the whole community. You've made your point. It's time to step down now and let the talks continue and sort this out. A lot of supporting, but this needs to stop now before just totally escalates out of control. Listeners, as the message has been made loud and clear, the government needs to act now before panic sets in. This listener tells us that they 100% agree with the protesters and think people have the wrong idea of, you know, the fact that they might be inconvenienced by all of this. Besides emergencies, if everyone doesn't stand up and support this protest, the government have shown that they what they think of the general public. One listener's view. Pete has sent us in his voice note.
Hi folks, I'm just stuck on the M3 here, back-to-back traffic. I'm burning through diesel that I struggle to afford to try and get to my job, which I'm late for now, to try and feed my family and pay tax like everyone else on this road. And these idiots are burning through tanks of diesel in their very expensive and modern trucks to protest the price of diesel. It beggars absolute belief.
This voice note from Pete, another listener here. All garages in Nina and Tipperary have massive lines this lunchtime. A few of them are already out of petrol, says this texter as well. We could keep talking about this for the next couple of hours, and we'll do that here on News Talk. Stay with us. We'll keep you posted, updated from all developments around the country. Pretty unprecedented, though, the announcement today from the Justice Minister confirming the Defence Forces will be deployed to remove vehicles blocking critical infrastructural points. With fuel prices, protests entering their third day, we'll likely be talking about this tomorrow. If you want to share your own thoughts, views, drop me an email, lunchtimelivenewstalk.com. My thanks to all of you for getting in touch with us so far today about this, and for those of you who joined us live when we were broadcasting from O'Connell Street in Dublin.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.